And open your Bibles, if you will, to 1 Peter in chapter 2 this morning. 1 Peter chapter 2 is where we want to begin. And by the Lord's grace, I think today, if He'll continue to keep us there, I want to ask you to turn away from this chapter in this morning's sermon. We'll have several verses that we'll relate to, but I'll have them posted up above. You'll be able to freely just relax and listen, but I hope and pray today that the Word of God speaks deeply to your heart this morning. And what my intentions, my thought, what I developed out of this message was that of a greater gratitude, a stronger thankfulness for what the Lord has done for us. 1 Peter chapter 2, if you'll stand with me, if you're willing and able to this morning for the reading of the Word of God. The Bible says in verse 6, 1 Peter chapter 2, and in verse 6, "Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." Verse 9. "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." Beloved, I want to bring a message titled to you today, "Into His Marvelous Light." Let us pray. Father in heaven, I thank you, dear Lord, for the opportunity to stand before your people today. Lord, I thank you for allowing me, Father, to stand under this holy desk this morning. I do ask you, Lord, to please anoint the words that proceed out of my mouth, Father. Lord God, I pray that anything that would be said, dear Lord, that is not intended by you, Father, that you would refrain my lips from doing so. Lord, I just pray today that you please, in a great way, touch us all. Meet with us, dear God, we ask. Father, if there be one in our midst, or if there be one, Lord God, that hears or watches this sermon, dear Lord, in some other capacity, I pray for them. If they know you not as Lord and Savior, let this be the last moment, the last minute, the last day in their life, dear God, where they walk in any type of uncertainty. We give you glory, honor, and praise, and thank you for who and what you are, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, and please be seated. I deeply appreciate everyone standing for the honor of the reading of the Word of God. I don't take it lightly. I know we ask several times, and we do so in the sermons every week. And so I do want to say I deeply appreciate it. But it's not about me. It's about the Lord also. G. Campbell Morgan said this, "Every day I need the cross more. Every day I live this Christian life, I am more and more conscious that I cannot understand the mystery of all Jesus did. Yet more and more conscious that by the way of that cross, and that cross alone, my wounded heart is healed, my withered soul is renewed, my deformed spirit is built up, and my broken manhood is remade. And every day I live, I sing in my heart with new meaning." Beloved, the more and more that we look to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, we begin to realize what it has done for each and every one of us. The more that we look at the cross, consider the sacrifice, the payment, the suffering that Jesus Christ experienced personally for us, really and truly, the more our gratitude should increase in our life. A desire to live for Christ should grow on a daily basis. The more we realize what He did to us, the more we realize what He did for us, the more you and I realize what is awaiting us beyond this life, solely because of what Jesus did that day on the cross. We live in an age today that it's easy to get discouraged and depressed. We live in a time of world today to where if you hook on to the news media, it almost seems as if there is, nothing going right. We live in a world today that if I have these little updates that come onto my phone, and one of them is still from our old news station in Nashville, where we haven't lived since 2012, and as a matter of fact, we moved away, I would say, the first day of 2013. And Nashville, Tennessee, I lived there for 16 years. Amen. My wife grew up there. And yet I get these news reports that pop across from this same news channel, and so-and-so has died. This person was hit by a car. This person was arrested. This person is indicted. This person was abused. This person was ran over. This car accident happened. This person has, all it is tragedy after tragedy. If you subscribe to any of the major news outlets, the BBC or CNN or Fox News, if you have any of those things that come across on your computer or your phone or your tablet, you're inundated by tragedy and things that are going on in the world. Some lunatic over there in North Korea stirring problems up in the world today. Everybody just hopes that he goes away. Yeah, I wasn't alive, but I remember reading in the history books of a man that Winston Churchill warned the world about over and over and over. 6 to 8 years in the 30s, Winston Churchill would get before Parliament and get before a crowd of people, and he'd warn them of this lunatic that was coming to power over in Germany. And meanwhile, Parliament went on holiday in the month of August. I was reading yesterday some of Churchill's words, how he warned the world to pay attention, how he warned America to wake up and listen, how he warned the world and our allies of what was going on and what this crazy man really wanted to do in the world today. It was unheeded warnings until it was too late. And at the end of the day, Britain was bombed. Thousands upon thousands were killed. 6 million Jews were slaughtered. 1.5 million of them were children. Another 6 million Germans of his own people, who he deemed unworthy, were killed. If we'd just listened to what Churchill was trying to tell people, if we'd just listened to what he was trying to warn. See, guys, if we crawled up inside the news media and we crawled up inside the problems of this world, we would have a tendency to go, my soul, man, we are real. It is a terrible, terrible day to live. Some of us have a tendency to say, back in the good old days. I like those. I like listening to people when they say, back in the good old days. I love sitting and listening to how it used to be. I do, I really do. But I'm also reminded that back in the good old days, there wasn't indoor plumbing either, was there? Back in the good old days, there wasn't electricity. And back in the good old days, there wasn't sometimes heat that we could just turn on by a switch. Back in the good old days, we had to use a lantern. I say we, I'm just saying, the general population. There is a pro and a con about every generation and every time that we live. Yeah, guys, there's tragedies in the world today. There are sickening people right around the corner from wherever we live. The world today, we understand there are problems and there are issues. However, may I say this to you this morning? The age we live in, the church age, that is, these are the days of grace. This is the time, this is the era, these are the days that God has blessed us with the opportunity to be a part of. You say, what do you mean, preacher? I mean this. We're not living underneath a law that we have to bring a yearly sacrifice to a person, to a man, so that he would sacrifice it on our behalf to cover our sins as a nation for the past 12 months. We're not living in a time today to where if my wife and I have crossed words one with another, that I have to take a turtle dove down to the local priest and have him sacrifice and go to God on my behalf in order for my sins to be atoned. We're not living in that world. As a matter of fact, we're not living in a time today to where really and truly one select group of people were the chosen of God. No, we're living in the age of grace. And guys, if you'll look to the cross more and more and more, If you'll look to see what Jesus Christ did for you personally, what Jesus Christ did for you in this life, what Jesus Christ did for you because He loved you, the more gratitude you'll have with all of its problems, with all of its issues, with all of the tragedy in our world today, the more grateful you'll be that you're part of this age and not the one before. The blessed opportunity, number one, that you and I have this morning to be in the age that we're living in is, number one, we are blessed with a relationship with God. Look there in verse 9, which is our text verse for this morning. Notice what it says in the first part, "But ye are a chosen generation." That is a relationship with God. When the Scriptures say, "But you are a chosen generation," the plurality of this statement is revealed in the perfection of its very words. Ye are. That is, we are exclusively His. We are exclusively God's. We are exclusively the Lord Jesus Christ today. But it's not just one person, one race, one tongue, one nation, but it's every soul that will call out upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are part of that chosen generation, my friend. But can I tell you, the word chosen doesn't mean preferred above. We're exclusively God's people in the day and the age that we live in. We are granted this precious relationship with the Lord, and as a church, as a body, as a bride of Christ today, we are chosen for a purpose beyond our years of existence. We are a chosen generation. A generation from whence our sins were paid for on the cross of Calvary. No matter who we are, no matter what we have done, a soul can have a personal relationship with Christ, a personal relationship with the Creator of all things, simply by receiving Him and confessing from a true heart who and what He is and what He has done. This is where the relationship starts, and this is where the relationship grows. When a soul is convicted of their own personal sins and realizes they need a Savior. Beloved, let me go ahead and throw this out there to you this morning. If you've never realized that you needed to be saved, you've never gotten saved. A person drowning does not need a sign that goes across the cue card there and says unto them, "Hey, listen, this is what you need to say." A person drowning says, "Hey, someone save me," because they realize they are seconds away from imminent death. One of the great fears of dying is dying by drowning. One of my sons the other day was talking about potentially going into the Navy. And then it was almost like a comma in the statement. He said, "But I got a massive fear of drowning, Dad." I said, "You don't need to go in the Navy then, son." When you realize that you need to be saved, that's when you can be saved. But guys, if you didn't realize that you needed to be saved, what are you being saved from? What are you being saved from? The consequence of sin. Man, but that salvation, beloved, that salvation of the consequence of your own personal sin, gives you a relationship with the Creator. A relationship with the One who spoke everything into existence. Chosen generation. Secondly, not only are we granted a relationship, but we're granted a royal priesthood. Verse 9 again, he says, a royal priesthood. Beloved, in the Old Testament, and I've already alluded to it just slightly this morning, but in the Old Testament, the high priest who was chosen among from the people could approach the Lord, have access to Him, but Him only. It was the high priest who went to God on behalf of the nation of Israel, or on behalf of individuals who have sinned. It was the high priest that went before a person. That's no longer. 1 John chapter 2 verse 1 says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." The Scripture goes on to say that we have a high priest who is touched with our infirmities, Jesus Christ. There was a high priest in the nation, with the nation of Israel. There was a high priest that went before God to atone for Israel's sin and for individual sin. 613 laws that Israel had laid above them that they had to follow on a regular basis. And listen, those priests were busy in the tabernacle. They were busy in the temple. Amen. But today, man, we go to the Lord ourselves. We are a royal priesthood today. It's not the pastor, that's the priest. The term vicar, if I can ask you, remove the term vicar from your vocabulary. The word vicar means substitute or replacement. It's what that word literally means. Look it up. No one is, what's happened is it's been passed down through Catholic teachings, and it's fallen into different organizations and churches, and they say, oh, there is no one that's a replacement of Jesus Christ, positionally or personally. Amen? But you are a royal priesthood today, if you're saved and born again. We have an opportunity to come before the throne of grace with boldness each and every day, and every one of us with that access. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Guys, we do not need another man as an intermediate between us and God. We can come to the throne of grace freely at any given time that we want to. You can, Martin can be on his scooter between here and home, and he can pray. You don't bow your head, don't close your eyes, please. But you can pray, amen. You can do that, and you are just as much praying unto God and speaking unto God and speaking unto Jesus Christ, who is going to the Father on your behalf, our advocate, just as much as you are here. Maybe more sometimes, who knows? How many times have we ever knelt down, bowed our hearts, and we just struggle with the words? We didn't even know what to pray for. Did you know today that as a royal priesthood, we have that access to that throne of grace, that we can pray unto God and He hears our prayers even when we know not what to pray? Romans chapter 8 and verse 26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit of God knows what we need. He knows where we are, and He makes those prayers, He makes those sayings known unto God the Father, God the Son. We can and we should often speak to the Lord. We can and we should on a regular basis pray. Paul said for us to pray without ceasing. There should be a constant and a continual communion with the Lord Jesus Christ through our prayer by the power and might of the Holy Spirit of God. This royal priesthood is to be saved. This royal priesthood is a saved and a sealed individual. It grants us access into the eternal. We are able to speak to the one who saved us through the one who has sealed us. If we would just get a hold of this one truth today, out of all the truth that we're going to discuss out of verse 9 of chapter 2 in 1 Peter, in the book of 1 Peter, if we would get a hold of this one truth that is found within this verse, our Christian life would change dramatically. If we would get a hold of this one truth right here, that you are a royal priesthood today and you personally have access into the eternal, I believe your Christian life would change dramatically. Go to God, beloved. Plead before Him to make a difference in the lives of those you are working with, those who you love. Give the Holy Spirit the opportunity to do His job. He wants to do it. He desires to do it, beloved. Approach the throne with boldness and plead for the people. We are a royal priesthood. We have a relationship with God because of the mighty work upon the cross of Calvary. Thirdly this morning, not only those two, but thirdly this morning, we are reserved. Look in verse 9. He says, a holy nation. A holy nation. The word holy means to be set apart. It means to be sanctified. 1 Corinthians tells us in chapter 6 and verse 11, "And search for some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Paul said in 1 Timothy 4:5, he says, "For it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer." To be set apart, to be sanctified, to be holy, is to be set for a purpose unto the Lord. It does not mean that we're sinless. We'll never reach a point of sinless perfection until which time we get to heaven. Paul said this, speaking of our Lord, "Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself." There's going to come a time when we are changed to be like the Lord Jesus Christ, that's in the eternal, that's in heaven, that's after this life, but that is not yet now. So it doesn't mean we reach sinless perfection to be sanctified. You hear people use that terminology today. They say, "Oh, he's sanctified," and they use it in a mocking way, making fun of people, calling them Bible thumpers and calling them this and that and holier than thou. But the word holy means to be set apart. It means to be cleansed. It means to be sanctified. It means, guys, that we are set apart for the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The word sanctified shows up in the Bible 58 times. The word holy, another 544 times. If you do the math, out of 66 books in the Bible, that's over 9 times per book that it shows up in the Bible. It seems like the Lord spent a great amount of time in this area speaking about being holy, speaking about being set apart and sanctified. When something or someone is set apart, they are done so for a particular purpose. We are set aside, not to be done away with, but to be used for a particular work, and not to be used for another. Paul said, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." There's a saying that I've used for well over 10 years now. Funny enough, I picked it up in the midst of a baseball game. "But if you make no changes, you get the same results. If you were to spend a life living and doing the same thing that you've always done, never making any changes, never being willing to grow, never looking at yourself and changing maybe the way you are, or who you are, or what you say, or where you go, or what you do, then you're always going to get the same results that you always have." Beloved, as a child of God, as being part of the body of Christ, as being part of the bride of Christ, we are today reserved. We are a holy nation. We are set apart for the work of God. It doesn't mean that we're preferred above anyone else. It doesn't mean that we are chosen above anyone else. What it means today is that we've made that decision. We've received Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. And because of that, we have a relationship with Him. Because of that, my friend, we are a royal priesthood. Because of that, we are reserved, set apart as a holy nation for His use and His working as the bride of Christ, as a body of believers. The church is a body of believers made up of Jews and Gentiles who have been saved from all walks of life, who have been granted this relationship, who have become a royal priesthood, who are reserved for a particular purpose. But lastly this morning, as a body of believers today, not only are we those three, but we're rare. We are to be rare. In verse 9, he says, "a peculiar people." Beloved, peculiar doesn't always mean strange or odd. It means rare. I mean, according to the world's standards, we may be a bit strange. Those in the world today may think it's odd that we don't carouse around, or that we don't fight out there in the world, or we're not swearing every other word, or that we don't drink alcohol. I mean, maybe the world may look at us and say, "Man, you're just a bit odd." And I get that, but that's not what this verse is saying. The Lord is not taking the world's perspective and viewing us. He's viewing us through the heavenly eyes that are set in the eternal this morning. We're rare. We're living in a world where things are getting worse and worse, and I understand that. We're living in a time where tragedy seems to be on the telly, on the radio, on the news report every single day, and it gets worse and worse. But we can maintain a heavenly focus with a heavenly mind as we keep our eyes on Jesus Christ, living a life with a goal in mind. And that goal is to do what? To show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness. So why the relationship? Why the royal priesthood? Why the holy nation? Why the rarity? It's that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. That's our purpose, friends. To praise Him, to show praises unto Him who called us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. You ever remember a time where you got up in the middle of the night? Or maybe you walked into the house or whatever it may be, and you knew your way around. You know your place in your own home. Familiarity produces that, but it's pitch black. And you're doing this. You're walking, and you can't see, and you're just feeling. You want to make sure you don't knock this statue over. You don't want to knock that picture frame over. The thing is, one wrong turn, and it's going to be like dominoes, and the whole thing collapses. You ever done that? Oh, I've done it. I've done it on steps. It scares the daylights out of me. Because undoubtedly, you know which one I missed? The last one. It's terrible when you do that. But the Bible speaks of groping in the night. You're just kind of, you're feeling yourself around. And essentially, beloved, before a person was illuminated by the Holy Scriptures and was illuminated by the Holy Spirit, that's what we did in life. We just kind of felt around. We did that which, okay, it feels like it's the right way, so let's go that direction. Feels like this is the direction, let's go that direction. But then all of a sudden, we were called out of darkness. Not into a 60-watt light bulb, but into His marvelous light. And beloved, when His marvelous light moved in, things changed. When His marvelous light moved in, your life took on a whole new meaning. When His marvelous light came into your life, things were illuminated, things were changed. Listen, you looked at the world through a different type of lens. Pray to God it was the lens of the Holy Scripture. I pray to God that it was the lens of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you view the world through the cross of Calvary, you put the crosshairs on the eternal soul. So why the relationship? Why the royal priesthood? Why the holy nation? Why are we reserved? Why the rarity of our beings today? You show forth the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. I share with you in the opening statement today that we have a tendency to look back at the good old days. We have a tendency to look back how great things used to be, and we have a tendency to look at our world today and how. And guys, listen, we live in a tragic world. The Bible tells us that evil men shall wax worse and worse. It's going to get worse before it gets better. But we're here for a purpose. Israel was chosen to be a light. Isaiah 49:6 says, and He said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. This is the reason Jesus Christ came to this earth. Luke 2. Verse 30 through 32. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. This is Simeon speaking. Which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Guys, it was why Paul was chosen. Acts 13:47. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light to the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. Beloved, that's the plan. That's the purpose. And that's the power of the Holy Spirit of God today, to be a light unto the ends of the earth. Not to Jews only, not to Gentiles only, but to all that is in the world, all that have breath. The Lord Jesus Christ died for them. He rose again for them. He can reunite them unto the Father for them. Listen, we have been granted the blessed opportunity to live now. Not tomorrow. Not 120 years ago. Guys, listen, we wasn't part of the 1859 revival through the Cunning Valley, but we could be part of the 2017 or 18 revival through the Cunning Valley. We wasn't part of the 1904 revival in Wales. We wasn't part of the 1770-something revival under Howell Harris right through this very village in this very valley. We wasn't part of that because God didn't choose us to live during that time. He chose us to live today. And bless God, we need to use it. We need to be thankful for what He's done. We need to look at the cross of Calvary and thank God every day for Him allowing us to live in this age, in this location, in this village, in this valley, but to live right here today, and this, given this opportunity to be a rarity, a royal priesthood, reserved to have a relationship with Him. We're not living in the Old Testament days, and praise the Lord, we're not. We're not bowing down to a stone face or a graven tree built by our own hands. But we today bow to the one true God, Almighty. And beloved, this is our day. Today is our time to show forth the praises unto Him who hath called us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. It's our time to shine. For the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let it may be said, should the Lord tarry 50, 60, 70 years, let it be said of that group down there in Abraham and that group down there in the Cunning Valley, that group down there that started out so few, spread the gospel, and thousands got saved. And listen, a revival broke out through South Wales. Let it be said of them 100 years from now. But today is our day. Now is our time. And our gratitude toward He that brought us out of darkness and into His marvelous light will only be seen if we choose to praise His name in the day, in the time, in the hour that He's given us. Not waiting for tomorrow and not looking back in the past and wishing it was like it used to be, but choosing today to be like it should be. We are in control of our own destinies. And we are to control only the things that we can control. Whatever the uncontrollables are today in our life, don't worry about them. Cast them to the side. Do the job that God has given us to do. And be grateful this morning that He called you into His marvelous light. Will you bow your heads today? Father, we come to You and we ask You, dear Lord, to watch over us. We pray that You take Your word this morning and apply it to our hearts. Father, we'd be ever so mindful for what You've done for us and who and what You are. Lord, I pray today that our gratitude would increase. And from Your preached word this morning, dear Lord, that You would make a move upon our hearts so that a difference may be made in the lives of everyone that we come into contact with. Father, let us look to the cross and be mindful that we are that chosen generation, that we are that royal priesthood, that we are that holy nation, so that we may show forth, Lord, as a peculiar people, a rarity in this world, that we may show forth praises unto Him who called us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. We ask this thing in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Do you hope and pray that the Lord was good to you this morning?